direct from Orlando. It's blindbargains.com coverage of NFB 2018. Brought to you by Google. Our friends at Google are working hard to create great technology products for everyone. They're inviting you to participate in Google User Research Studies, where you can help shape the future of accessible products and features and get rewarded for it. Check out our tweet for the sign-up link at blindbargains or head to google.com/userresearch. Now, here's Chansey Fleet.
Hello, I am here with Nikki Shaw. She is the U.S. Operations Manager for Storm Interface, and we are here together looking at some accessible kiosks that can be used to manage devices that people typically access with touch screens. So can you tell me a little more?
I can, yes. These are audio-enabled tactile keypads that are designed to be permanently installed into touchscreen kiosks to make that kiosk accessible. Because not everyone can use a touchscreen for a multitude of reasons, blindness being one of them, maybe the inability to read, or palsy, or Parkinson's disease, tremor, reach problems, lots of reasons. So we're seeing touchscreens everywhere nowadays in self-service, and you know, much of the population is being excluded from using them because they can't use a touchscreen. However, our devices are now being installed by the kiosk manufacturers, and that would enable the people that can't use a touchscreen to still use the kiosk. If I can explain to you how it works, there's an audio jack on each of the keypads, and a user would insert their audio jack into the keypad and then be able to listen to an audio description of what's being presented on the screen. They'd then use the tactile buttons of the keypad to navigate through the menu options and make their selections using purely the buttons of the keypad.
In kind of a linear one-at-a-time structure.
Yeah, the keypads come in a couple of different layouts. They all do essentially the same. On some of the keypads, the buttons are in a linear layout. In some of the keypads, they're in more of a cluster, you know, sort of more of a northeast, you know, up, down, left, right, with a center enter button.
Oh, like an arrow cross. Yeah,
yeah, kind of, okay. Like you've had on a TV remote.
Got it.
So there's a couple of different formats because not every kiosk has the same amount of space available. I mean, the tendency is to go very, very thin and very streamlined. So some of the keypads will be positioned, you know, outside of the kiosk housing. And then some are kind of flush with the kiosk housing. So there's a few different options for the kiosk manufacturers. So no reason for them not to install one of the keypads.
So can you tell me about some of the interfaces that you've worked at?
I mean, with some of the customers, we're under NDA. So I can certainly tell you about the customers that have got these devices out in the wild, so to speak.
Okay.
So for the last sort of, I probably would say 12 months, the major airlines here in the US have been working, because the Department of Transport mandated that they must provide an accessible audio interface with, you know, a tactile interface.
That's been a long time coming.
I know, finally, right?
Yeah.
So they've been working on being compliant. So they've used, most of the airlines are using our devices in some shape or form to provide that accessible tactile interface with the audio. So major airlines, and I can say Southwest because I've seen them myself,
yeah.
United, but all the major airlines that you can think of really here in the US, they're gradually rolling them out airport by airport. And then there's also the quick service restaurants. Wendy's were one of the first ones to come to us to say, we realize that a touchscreen alone isn't enough. What do your devices offer? How can we integrate them? So those guys are using them. And lots of their competitors are also now using them. I can't mention some of their names,
right.
But they are also going to be using them. You're going to be finding those on some of the quick service restaurant, the burger chains and things. And then lots of other self-service sort of applications, such as voting. There's many equipment voting manufacturers that we're working with to use our devices, as well as retailers, you know, for anything that's to do with self-service and ticketing and that kind of application.
Do you think we should do a really brief demo?
We can do, yeah. Now this is, the volume may or may not work.
We've had computer problems. We'll just swoop in close.
Yeah.
Do the best we can.
Yeah, certainly. So in front of us here, I'm going to get to the start. So here we have a simulated kiosk. It's got your average touchscreen, but it also has one of our devices positioned below it.
All right.
So now, if you can locate the audio jack with your fingers, it's an indented audio jack and you found it straight away.
Yep, I found it on the left of the cluster.
Yep, I'm going to insert some speakers rather than a headset so we can actually hear. Oops.
Okay. Thanks for your feedback. Okay.
Yeah, thanks, speakers. Now, there's a volume button just behind the audio jack.
Okay.
Which would allow you to set the volume to a comfortable level for you.
And it's kind of a one-button cycler, right?
It is, but for some reason, if you press it... Yeah, we've had problems with the volume on this. Is it working again?
Well,
yeah, hold on just a second because, yeah,
there we go.
Volume 75.
Yeah,
volume 100.
Okay,
there we go.
It's still not very loud, but now this is basically giving you an audio description of what's on the screen. It's telling you what's on the screen, and it's really just an explanation of what the keypad is. There's some buttons.
The layout of the buttons is as follows. There is a square OK button in the center and four navigation buttons around this for up, down, left to go back one page and right to go to the next
and
that's page.
The, let me see if I can hit right to go next.
Please press and hold the center square OK button. Please use the up and down buttons to go to the option you require and press the square OK button to select.
I don't really have to listen to it all, which is rather annoying.
Use the left button to go to the previous page and the right button to go to the next
page. Try that right button again for me. So now we've gone to the voting screen and it's asking us whether we want to continue to vote or change the speech rate.
All right, we will
continue
to vote. Okay, but
please enter your 8-digit voting reference number using the
I'm skipping past that screen because it's asking you for a reference number and I can't remember what it is. So if you were a real voter, obviously you'd have to enter some sort of unique reference number for yourself.
Got it.
Alice Jones, press the square OK. Bob Turner, press the square. Claire Whittle, press the square OK.
I don't know who these people are, so this doesn't mean anything when I choose it.
Yeah, and now if it was a...
You chose Claire Whittle.
And it confirmed for me.
It will. Okay. You've got the option to go back if it wasn't clear you wanted to vote for.
I can use that left arrow.
Yeah.
Perfect. I think that gives us enough to get a good idea. Is there anything else that you want to leave us with?
Really just to say that these products are commercially available with no minimum order quantities. So really as far as the guys that specify these kiosks, the guys that build them, you know, the retailers and the company, there's no excuse for them not to include a device like this. It's not expensive and they're available right now.
So let's say we've got a local chain and somebody's thinking there's self-service, it would be nice to have, well, not nice, it would be a human right to have that be accessible. How much cost and labor is involved in implementing one of these for a mom and pop place that might have just two or three locations?
For a mom and pop place, Not particularly expensive because they can buy just one and it's available from our website.
Yeah.
And obviously we're a manufacturer, so the more that you buy, the cheaper the price becomes. But the average price of one is $130 and $150.
That's it?
That's just the hardware.
All right.
They've then got to then obviously have their software work with the device, so they're going to have to provide an audio interface.
Right.
Okay. So, but for the big guys who are making millions and millions of dollars profit every year, it's a drop in the ocean. They've already got the software running on the kiosks. To integrate this device wouldn't be a big deal for those guys at all.
Now, I do want to ask, you know, often the first thing that happens after we make significant gains in accessibility is another group says, hey, what about us? And in this case, it's people who are deaf-blind and don't necessarily benefit from text-to-speech. No. Where do you see your company moving into the future to support even more people?
We've thought about that a lot, actually. So I don't have an engineering brain, but my colleagues have. And obviously, yes, because obviously if a person is blind and deaf, usually they would, you know, it has to be touch, some sort of touch signing. And we've thought about braille displays and things. Then the other side of us, you have to weigh up, I guess, in a real life scenario, would a deaf and blind person be completely on their own outside navigating the world? And if
very possibly they might. People, as in this convention, I think you'll find that there are people that need support and there are people that are traveling totally independently in the world. And so
the braille display really is the way we would have to go, because obviously it would have to be something that they can touch and feel.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it would have to be that sense that we're appealing to. So, I mean, we've certainly thought about having speech enabled, but obviously speech would still need a way for, they could speak to the kiosk, there still needs to be a way for the kiosk to speak back to them, as it were, i.e. via a braille display. Well, that technology exists already.
And the prices are dropping. I don't know if you've had a chance to visit some of the other exhibitors.
I haven't, but I know my colleagues, my engineering colleagues, have been looking at it, and certainly yes, because they've looked at those devices over the years. And just like all technology, they're amazed at how now accessible in terms of price those devices are. Mm-hmm. One of those devices could certainly be installed on a kiosk right now and be designed to work with the software running on the kiosk and the interface that we provide, and also the speech interfaces. So, I mean, in theory, the technology is there. It just needs to be combined into a kiosk.
Is it Android or Linux under the hood?
Under the hood of this, both.
Right.
And Windows. So there's certainly...
It depends on the vendor interface.
Yeah. Often it depends on what operating system the kiosk is running on. But our devices, because they connect via a USB, are fairly universal in terms of what they'll work with.
Got it.
Certainly the later versions of Windows and Android and iOS, yes, that works with those.
So here's something to watch out for. We've heard this year that there is a push now to support Braille displays as a human interface device, so a kind of a universal protocol, like with keyboards, like with mice.
Yeah.
So maybe now the time is right to start exploring Braille in addition to speech.
I know. I mean, certainly in terms of when there's any kind of, like you say, a push and a drive in the market, is when our engineers, obviously they're already aware of the technology because that's their job.
Yeah.
It's now the time that their brains have to start working and come up with creative ideas, and we work closely with the Royal National Institute of Blind People, because we're a British-based company, and those guys often provide us with, just like you say, the drivers of where they see the industry heading, what things we need to be looking at, and we like to work closely with them because we need to be guided by them so we're developing the right products that people are going to actually be able to use, and it's what they need. So
great. Nikki, thank you so much for your time. Best of luck with your work, and have a wonderful convention.
Thank you. You too.
For more exclusive audio coverage, visit blindbargains.com or download the Blind Bargains app for your iOS or Android device. Blind Bargains audio coverage is presented by the AT Guys. Online at atguys.com.
This has been another Blind Bargains audio podcast. Visit blindbargains.com for the latest deals, news, and exclusive content. This podcast may not be retransmitted, sold, or reproduced without the express written permission of AT Guys.
Copyright 2018.